Welcome to the I'm Book Podcast. I am April O'Leary, and this is episode 51. Today, we speak with Ann Janser, who's an award-winning author, a book coach, and an unabashed nonfiction geek on a mission to help people make a positive impact with their writing. And her writing-related books include The Writer's Process and Get the Word Out. Today, we're talking about things about servant authorship, how to grow your readership, what the writing process is like, and how books have made a difference in her life. So let's get started on this episode of I'm Booked. But hold on. Before we get started, if you haven't done this yet, I encourage you to stop what you're doing, stop this recording, and go over to O'LearyPublishing.com right now to pick up your free copy of The Influencer's Path to Successful Publishing, where we help you learn how to craft your book, share your message, cultivate your community, and build your brand. So if you're a professional, if you're an aspiring speaker, if you're someone who has just had an idea and you're not quite sure how to get it out into a book format, we encourage you to download The Influencer's Path to Successful Publishing right now at O'LearyPublishing.com. Go get it. I dare you. Welcome to the I'm Book Podcast. I'm April O'Leary, and I'm super excited. We have an amazing guest today with us today, Ann Janser, who is an author. She is an editor. She has some definitely great tips on book marketing, and we're going to get into all of that today. So welcome to the show, Ann.
Hi, April. Thanks for having me. I love talking about books and writing.
So Ann is an award-winning author, and she's a book coach, and she's a nonfiction geek. Tell me about that. How did you become a nonfiction geek?
I have always enjoyed psychology and cognitive science. And several years ago, I thought, it's really interesting to look at how does this apply to writing? How does this apply to writing ourselves? And how does this apply to how our writing lands with other people? What does a metaphor do in the reader's head? So that's the kind of nonfiction geekiness I'm talking about. I really am interested in sort of the science behind it and how we can use that to be better writers and more effective writers. So I think that's kind of my geeky thing. And once you start opening that lens, you look at everything that you read a little bit differently. It's very interesting.
What would you say is your favorite book that helped you kind of open the door to that thinking? Do you have a book that maybe sparked your interest back before you even were an author?
Yeah. So actually there was one, which it was Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman, which is this massive thing about all of our cognitive biases. And I read it even before I had written a book, but it really got me thinking about the ways that we think and the ways that we fool ourselves. And it got me back into psychology and cognitive science reading in a way that I hadn't been for a long time. So that is actually what sparked me. It was fascinating.
That's a very popular book. I actually haven't read it, but I do have it on my shelf here. My husband read that. So maybe I'm going to have to pull that off the shelf. He raved about it as well. So prior to becoming an author and getting into book coaching and all that you do now, what did you do? What was your background?
I was in marketing, and I was, for most of my career, a freelance marketing consultant, which pretty much meant I was writing thought leadership, and I was writing lead generation, and I was writing blog posts in the name of the corporate executives and things like that. So I was writing always in somebody else's voice, always in the voice of a brand. Maybe it was a hip, edgy brand, or maybe it was a very solid, stayed, trustworthy brand. So I was this chameleon. Okay, I was a writing chameleon. But it did make me learn how to really optimize my writing processes, because I just charged on a project basis. I didn't want to track my hours. That's just not the kind of person I am. So I realized I really had to learn how to be as efficient and effective as possible. So that really sparked also part of my interest in the psychology of writing and how do we be more creative and more productive without driving ourselves nuts. as writers.
We definitely don't want to drive ourselves nuts, that's for sure. Although writing can feel that way sometimes, for sure.
It can, yeah.
And you were just talking right before we started this recording, I asked Anne how she worked with potential authors and how she structured her sessions with them and all of that. She said sometimes she gets manuscripts, sometimes she works with them in the process. So how do you find authors typically relate to their own work, especially when it's their first book? Do you see certain fears or patterns or things that surface that you coach them through regularly?
Yes. Yeah, there are definitely repeating things. One is just there's sometimes just anxiety about the book, right? I'm writing a book and suddenly someone who's a prolific blog writer and everything freezes up because of the book. So we break it down into pieces and we say, no, here's just the next step. Here's the next thing. And so that's one thing that people often do. Second is people, and I work with nonfiction authors, so this is the lens that I'm talking about here. And sometimes people are not, they need help expressing their authority in a way that is going to land with the reader, right? So they either go too far, sharing tons and tons of personal stories that maybe don't serve the book, or they just quote from everybody else and don't take a stance themselves, you know. So a lot of the work I do with nonfiction authors is finding your authorial voice of authority, finding your voice that people are going to relate to and yet also get the sense that, oh, yes, she clearly knows what she's talking about. So that's the balance that is sometimes takes some work for the nonfiction author. This is not the fiction writer, it's the nonfiction author.
Right. And it's interesting, too, because I, along those lines of thinking, I've heard there are different ways to lead people. You're sometimes leading someone because you're in the trenches, too, and you're sort of holding their hand side by side,
yep,
walking them through something, but you don't necessarily have the answers further down the road yet. Or there's sometimes people that serve, lead by, I've made it, and these were the mistakes I made, and I'm trying to help you not make those same mistakes. Yes. And you talk a lot about servant authorship. So what does that mean?
So that's a term that I've coined. I don't know how many people, use it, but I've coined it anyway, which actually is a riff on the servant leadership. In the business world, there's this idea of servant leadership, which is that the leader actually serves the community that they lead and the people that they interact with. So it's not about your glorification as a leader. It's about, the people that you lead. And I think that servant authorship is its correlation for authorship. It's identifying an audience that you really, really want to serve with your book or your blog or whatever it is you're writing, and then saying, well, how do I best serve their needs? And it sounds, so obvious. It's like, well, of course you're doing that with your writing, but it's harder than it seems because the world is constantly saying, oh, how much are you going to make? What are you going to look like? It's really hard for us to get out of our own heads. It's super hard. So we focus on all the stories that we want to share that, oh, this is really fantastic, without saying, does this story serve the reader? We mm-hmm. we think about, I want to write a book that's this thick and everything because my colleagues all have books that are this thick and they look like this and this is what all the competitors are doing, without thinking, yes, but does that serve the specific audience that I'm trying to read? Mm-hmm. So the magic of it is, it's like a touchstone to refer to in your process. Everywhere from first envisioning the book to publishing and beyond, right? It helps you with all of those decisions. I mean, April, how many decisions there are involved for an author to get a book out into the world. Like
a lot.
We won't put a number on it, but there's many, many decisions. And those decisions can be overwhelming for authors. That's actually one of the reasons I think people kind of freak out about a book. It's like, there's so many decisions. But when you say, but wait, I'm a servant author, this is who I want to serve, this is why, suddenly a lot of the other options fall away and your path becomes clearer, which mm-hmm. is really super helpful.
Yeah. Super helpful. And one of the things in working with authors that we've found is when people think that their book can serve everybody.
Yeah, that's all the time. It's so hard for us to pick that community we want to serve. So people think of it as a subtractive thing. Well, if I'm serving this community, I'm not serving everybody else, and I want to serve everyone. I want to make the biggest impact I can. To make the biggest impact you can, you need to really serve a specific set of people really well. And it doesn't mean that you're pushing other people away, but it means you're putting out the welcome mat for a very specific people. So instead of like eliminating people, think about welcoming people. So flip your mental thing. And you know, the example I'd like to give is Marie Kondo's book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up.
Yeah.
So she wrote it for people who are willing, I swear, to take all of their possessions, put them in a heap in the room, and sort each one asking, does it give me joy? I'm guessing that a very small percentage of the people who read her book actually did that, right? But, I mean, come on. But when she met the needs of the people who really wanted to do that so well, they all shared the word. They all spread the word. And the thing took off. And obviously, it's reached a much broader audience. And she didn't write it saying, well, maybe you don't want to take all your possessions. Maybe just do it with a drawer. No, she did not say that. She said, take every item of clothing that you want, put it in a pile. She did not try to reach everybody. But in being very specific, she did reach a broad group of people. So there's your lesson of how this works.
That's a great, great point. And for her, in her personal life, I would assume if I went to her house right now, she has executed that with near perfection, and somehow along the way decided that this process that she shares in her book was beneficial to her, and therefore she wanted to put it in a book to get it out to others. And that's sort of the experience with nonfiction authors a lot of times, is they found something that works in their own life, and now they want to share it with others. And it's disingenuous, of course, to try to promote some message. You know, if you went to her house and it was a big mess, we might be very disappointed and confused.
We would be. Yes. It needs to be honest.
It's important as an aspiring author to think about, what are the things that I have, and I'm saying mastered in quotes, in my own life, the problems that maybe I faced before that somehow I figured out, and realizing there are people that are still in the previous iteration of where you used to be.
Yes.
And those are the people possibly that might be the ones you can roll out the welcome mat for.
Exactly. And that's a very powerful, you know, even your past self is as an avatar of someone to roll out the welcome mat for is very powerful.
So let's talk about your first book. Your very first book. What was your first book?
My first book was called Subscription Marketing, Strategies for Nurturing Customers in a World of Churn. So this was based on that marketing writing that I've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with this one was I looked around and I said, the whole world is shifting to a subscription model. And that fundamentally needs to change the practices of marketing. They have to pay attention after the sale and continue to nurture value in their customers if they want to stay relevant. And yet every marketer, every client that was hiring me was like, no, we're all about lead gen. So I wrote the book out of a sense of frustration, out of a sense of, hey, there's this thing. And, you know, April, I ended up thinking, you know, how can everybody not see this? It seems so obvious, right? Seems so obvious. This was in January 2015, it was published. It's like, mm-hmm. I got to do this quickly because no one's done it yet. And I got it out there. And of course, you know, it took a long time to build and all of that. but it was transformative in a lot of ways. First of all, it got me hooked writing books. I realized that I really, really enjoyed this and that this was a fantastic and fun project. And I also saw the impact that a book made. I mean, the market I was reaching for, interestingly enough, which was, you know, tech marketers at big corporations, it was a collective yawn from them. But a bunch of other people, like customer success people and entrepreneurs and the growing subscription box company, they all just, you know, grabbed onto this book, invited me to conferences. It was like, well, this is really fascinating. So sometimes, you know, you do a book and you learn from publishing the book, and then you go out and you talk about it and you learn even more. So I did a second edition, and then I did a third edition because I kept learning about the book. But it was really, it certainly changed my life. And had I wanted to make a career just consulting on marketing for subscription businesses, I could have at that point, because I was getting a lot of offers and a lot of suggestions. So that was also an insight into the power of a book like this on a career.
It's amazing to think about, and we've seen this happen with a number of our authors who write a book, and then all of a sudden that book starts to open doors.
Yes.
To other opportunities, because now you've put your name on the map. So prior to that, as you said, you were writing in other people's voices, you were the writing chameleon, you know, so it wasn't, you know, your name out there promoting your work. You were doing all the behind the scenes for everybody, but you saw that if you could put this together in a book, then now you became the authority.
Yes, yes. And I've seen that time and again with people I've worked with who, you know, are experts in very specific niches. One woman did consulting on customer onboarding, which is, again, a very specific, I'm going to call it geeky topic. Shh, don't tell Donna I said it's geeky. But, you know, she would embrace that. But she published this book, and now she is the authority on customer onboarding. You know, I mean, she is speaking, and, you know, it's elevated her consulting practices. It's elevated her presence. So it's fascinating what having the courage to put a well-written book out there. I mean, the book has to represent you well, right? You need to do the research. You need to, but having the courage to do that really elevates and can change your life. But so to pair this, because I'm talking about the effect on you and servant authorship. When you really focus on meeting the needs of the reader, that's when the follow-on effect is the elevation of your own presence. If you're doing
it, it becomes a win-win. The classic Stephen Covey win-win, right? We go into the project thinking more about the reader and how what we know can serve them. And then if we do a good job, as you said, from the editorial, which is key, you know, you can put a book and put a nice cover together. And if the editorial stinks, people won't read it.
That's right.
Or you can have an amazingly well-written book that's in terrible packaging, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I will give a caution to those of you listening right now who, you know, we're not talking today about self-publishing versus traditional, whatever, but a lot of authors who are aspiring want to do the most rack rate project possible and want to design their own cover. And I say that because we've had some authors who've come to us who said, I already have my cover done, and they did it in like Word or, pages. And I said, that is really cute. And there's no way that we would ever put that on your book.
That's right.
So you have to have the whole package put together in a way that's going to represent you excellently, as you said. So you had this book in 2015, which, again, what I thought was interesting as well, as you said, who you thought it would serve, it was a collective yawn, but it found its way to the people who needed it. So do you think that's kind of common, where authors have this, my book is meant for this type of person or community, and then it kind of finds its way somewhere else?
Yeah. Yeah. I like to have the metaphor of, you know, being a big fish in a small pond, right? So we talk about choosing your audience. So I went out thinking this is my pond, but it turns out, and there were a few fish in there, but some of them swam to a neighboring pond, which was full of fish that wanted this particular book, you know? So that's, you know, again, I was serving my audience as well as I could. And then I was listening, you know, so a book is like a beacon, right, that you put out in the world, and it attracts people based on your message. And if you listen and pay attention to who comes, then you can actually, you know, I did a second edition that changed it. I've talked to other authors who have done a book, and then people come back and say, but yes, I really want this. This one woman, Michelle Wucker, wrote this book that was about policy called The Gray Rhino. And everyone kept saying, but this is how this applies in my personal life. And she's like, this is not a self-help book. But so many people came that she wrote one that is more personal called You Are What You Risk. You know, so you listen to your audience.
Yeah.
See what they come back and tell you. It's not really a one-way, it seems like a one-way conversation, but if you really are out in the world with your book after publication, there's a lot to do. And if you're really listening, you can learn some really, really interesting things.
It's a lot of great points there, and so much we could rabbit trail and talk about, but I really want to get to this survey that you did about authors for authors back in 2020. So I understand that you surveyed 400 authors about what they would do differently. I am curious what kind of answers you got from that.
So I did this survey of 400 some nonfiction authors, and a lot of it was like fill in the blank questions, but these were open-ended questions. It's like, what was the biggest surprise? What would you do differently? What advice would you give? And so, of course, they're authors, so I got these long answers, tons of text. It's like, oh, how am I going to quantify this? But when I looked at it, and I have to see, I think about 25% of the comments that came back of what they do differently were about marketing. And also, biggest surprise, marketing. You know, a lot of people go into it thinking they're going with a traditional publisher, for example. So clearly marketing's taken care of. It's like, you and I know that, but it's still a rude surprise to many authors. Every author, I don't care how you're published, you know, barring being Stephen King, you know, the rest of us, marketing is on us, right? That's what it is. And, you know, depending on how you're published, you have different tools and different strategies available for marketing. So what makes sense for someone published with one of the big five may not make sense for someone who's indie. You have other options, right? So marketing was one of the biggest surprise. And the other thing that people said they would do differently had to do with time. So one says, I should have given myself more time to research, or I wish I'd given myself more time for revision, or I wish I'd taken more time. And one person said, I wish I'd written it 10 years ago. That was an interesting one too. Mm-hmm. But so time was an interesting thing. Either people felt like they rushed a little through it, or, you know, that they wished they'd gotten on it sooner, which is sort of an interesting set of things. But when I asked people, did writing the book meet your professional expectations, and did it meet your personal expectations? Two separate questions. And for 89% of them, again, this is nonfiction authors, 89% it met or exceeded their professional expectations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And 83% it met or exceeded their personal goals, which I thought was really, you know, that's a pretty good track record. That's pretty good. You know,
it's really good. I always make a joke. It's kind of a morbid joke, but you know, on your deathbed, you're not going to wish that you hadn't written that book. I think most people regret the things they don't do. And so writing a book, you know, if you've ever thought I should write a book, or someone said to you, wow, you're so interesting, or you know so much, or how did you know that, or you've been through such a hard time and come through, you should write a book. And the truth is, you won't regret it if you do it, even if it's just a therapeutic process. And for some authors, the process of writing, working with an editor, getting a book together, completing such a monumental task, that is a huge reward. That's a huge feather in your cap, whether you sell 10 copies or 10,000.
Absolutely. I mean, I think writing a book is always a growth process. It's always transformative. I mean, I'm not one of these people say write a book in a weekend and you'll be a millionaire. I think that's completely missing the point.
Right.
If you did it with no work, then you have no growth.
Right.
But yes, and I think that it is a huge accomplishment, and you're right. It's something to you come out transformed, partly because you've done this thing. You know, you've done this you've written a book, you've put your work out there in the world for others. And
you know, it's speaking of writing books, because you have written a number of books, but your most recent book, Get the Word Out, Write a Book That Makes a Difference. Let's talk about that. So first of all, really catchy title. I love it. And how did you come up with that title and that idea to write a book about getting the word out and writing a book that makes a difference?
Well, you know, as we've been talking about, I love working with authors who are focused on the impact that they can make, right? And I think there's a lot of books out there on how, you know, write a bestseller, do this, you know. And I really wanted to get to this idea of servant authorship, of how do we make an impact with our work? And in the book, I interviewed and I shared stories with of, you know, maybe a dozen or more authors who you may not have heard of. Some of them you have written books that are probably on, you know, a lot of people's shelves. But others are very specific and niche. And I wanted to share those stories because of the very thing we talked about, the impact of a book on a specific community, a specific person. So I shared stories from, like, you know, Kim Scott, who wrote Radical Candor, and she's, you know, her book has done phenomenally well, but then she heard from authors and wrote Just Work. You know, she changed her course based on what she heard from readers. So I shared a bunch of those stories, and then I got to the practices of how does the servant authorship guide us. And I did that because this is, you know, this was so fundamentally useful to me in my writing process, to focus on serving the reader. And I see other authors doing it so clearly and so well. So I just wanted to pull out and highlight that and use that to support people who are approaching a book for the first time and feeling overwhelmed by the magnitude of choices. I'm not trying to say it's going to be quick and easy, but I'm super encouraging cheerleading. That's my MO.
It's mine too, actually, because I think that, like you said earlier, and it might have been before you pushed the record button, actually, when you work with the authors you're working with, it's not about looking at the magnitude of the project. It's what's the next step?
Yes.
What's the next thing I could do? Mm-hmm. And like the old saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you write a book? Yep. One outline at a time, or yep, one chapter at a time, or 100 words a day at a time. It's like whatever you need to do to get your thoughts out there.
Yeah.
And it was funny. I was just eating lunch with my husband. We talk about the oddest things sometimes. And he said, you know, I wonder if anyone's ever studied whether someone would be more efficient writing a book on a typewriter or on a computer, because if you wrote on a typewriter, you'd really have to think things through first, versus if you write on a word processor, you can move things around. So we went down the rabbit hole of this, and I thought, you know, obviously it's so unique for each person, and probably no one listening to this even owns a typewriter.
Yeah.
But the point is, I guess, it doesn't matter, because you have to be willing to put your words on paper either way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
You and you can always rip a piece of paper up, or you can press the delete button. You know, I guess you don't have the copy paste, you know, moving text around edit functions on the typewriter, but it's a moot point. The only point being is that write the words on the paper, however that is, with a pen, with a typewriter, with a computer, work with an editor, have an outline, understand who your reader is and who you want to serve.
Yeah.
Those are some of the things that are so doable.
Yes.
If you just take it step by step.
Yeah. I think if you break apart the writing process into its component, I mean, I wrote a book called The Writer's Process about how to break it apart into its component things so that you don't freak out and get overwhelmed, because they're all, it's all different mental processes that we bring, the creative process versus the critical one that's tuning the words. Just break it into its steps and do it. You know, I used to stand at the top of I used to ski with my dad. I remember standing at the really top of a long, scary looking run. And he says, Anne, a mountain is just a series of hills. I'm like, so we'll ski to there. I'm like, okay. And that's how you approach a book. You know, it's
that
a series
of
hills. That's
a great way to think of it.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And you can always sit on your butt and scoot down a little bit past the steep part if you need to. It's okay.
Precisely.
So with all of your experience as an editor, as a writer for other people, and now a coach, you know, developmental editor working with people on their own manuscripts, you have your own vault of wisdom. And for those who are listening, this is a time to really pay attention, because Anne has some things to share. And I would ask, what advice would you give to someone who's on the fence about writing a book?
So again, I'm going to go back to this idea of servant authorship, because I think you're going to find that if you can ask these questions, it will unlock the path for you. And even if a book is the right thing, maybe you serve your audience better with the podcast. I mean, it's going to depend on who it is, but think about a population of people that you do want to serve and how you can bring something to them. And then you can think, well, what do they need? Do they need personal stories? Are they going to need data? Are they going to people who need data? Do they need convincing, or do they need encouragement and support? And kind of follow that path through, and then see if you can envision something that you can create that's going to meet those needs. It's a wonderful way to approach the work, and you may not get it done in 1 hour. You know, you might need to come back and revisit and spend a week or two free writing and thinking about, well, but wouldn't it be cool if they had this? Would they really like this? You know, you may need to spend some time with that. But then I think once you've done that, everything kind of becomes easier. It's, you know, your path kind of opens up and you can see your way more clearly.
Yeah. Great advice. It's great advice coming from someone who knows, who's done it, who has started off writing for others and then writing for themselves and now helping others get their words out into a readable format.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no wrong way to write a book, really. I think that when you write a book, as long as you have the heart to do it and you have a team to help you, yes. Because some people are natural writers, I'm sure you've found, and others labor. There's a little bit of labor. And when you work with someone who could help you kind of massage those words and serve the reader in a way that they're going to want to turn to the next page, then you've hit gold, really.
Yeah. And, you know, other people can help you clean up the structure. They can help you make the words flow. They can help you fix grammar. Only you can get that first really ugly draft out on the page. Once you've got that, anything is possible, really.
So true. So with all that you have to offer and all that you do with authors and aspiring authors and helping authors market their book, and I know we didn't talk about that too much today, but Anne definitely has this very, very strong background in marketing as well. How can they reach out to you and get more information and get contact with you?
Sure. So I'd invite you to go to my website, which is just my name, annejanzer.com. And there's a contact form there, or you can just email me, which is ann@annejanzer.com. Just don't forget the silent E on the Ann. Ann's with
and I'll be sure to put that in the show notes.
Fantastic.
So for all of you listening who are chomping at the bit, wanting to get her books and get a consult and kind of bounce your ideas about your book, possibly with someone who's got experience in the field, I encourage you to reach out. Don't let your fear of lack of authority or lack of writing skill or even confusion about how am I going to get this all done stop you from really reaching out. I always say, you know, it doesn't hurt to get more information.
Yes, always.
So by talking to someone who can kind of lay out the plan and say, this is what it looks like, then you can make decisions on whether you want to move forward or not based on reasonable data.
Yes, exactly. And I'll also share the link to that survey. If you want to go through and look at what other authors said about, you know, what they struggled with, what they learned, I'll share a link where you can get the survey results. And you might find that encouraging as well.
That sounds perfect. And I can put that in the show notes as well. You'll give me that for the show notes.
Absolutely.
Amazing. That would be awesome. So thank you so much for your time today. I so appreciate you coming here and being a part of the I'm Booked community, where we serve authors, aspiring authors, and those who are with the book in hand and wondering, what do I do next to grow their platform and to grow their audience? And as you said, servant leadership is really the way to go. Servant authorship, I should say. So thank you for your time today. And I look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
Thanks so much, April. Great conversation.
And that concludes another amazing episode of the I'm Booked podcast. I think it's amazing because I absolutely love interviewing our guests, learning so much. And I thank you, Ann Janzer, for spending time with us today. Be sure to connect with Ann at annejanzer.com. That's J-A-N-Z-E-R.com. Or you could email her directly, Ann, A-N-N-E, at annejanzer.com. She would love to talk to you. I encourage you to pick up her book, get the word out, write a book that makes a difference. The link is in the show notes. You can grab that on Amazon. And be sure to pop on over to O'LearyPublishing.com, connect with us over there, and stay tuned for another episode coming soon of the I'm Book podcast. Have an amazing day.